Kate Bonney is an emerging writer and actor who draws upon her career as a social worker and her role as a mother in her art. Kate was the lead role in The Middle Way and played in Claire Jennett's The Maids, directed by Tony Knight, and is currently completing a Master's in Theatre and Performance. You might recognise her from her Adelaide Fringe performances, where Kate has sung in Celtic folk trio Fiddle and Flute, and joined forces with the Irish band The Borderers, and from the cabaret show Spice Rack. Kate has written and starred in Wairi, a short film debuting at the Adelaide Film Festival in October, which features a burgeoning relationship between a non-Indigenous missionary and an Indigenous woman in South Australia. Charlotte Rose is a multimedia content creator for the University of South Australia and makes films covering a wide array of subjects such as psychology, Indigenous language, STEM, midwifery, law, journalism, and so many more, and enjoys collaborating with different individuals and organisations to tell stories. They join us now on the line to tell us more about this film, Wairi. Kate and Charlotte, welcome to Festival City.
Thank you so much for having us. Thanks for having us.
No, it's our pleasure. Now, Kate, you were inspired to write this story after reading George Taplin's journal entries. George was a colonial missionary in South Australia, but what in particular prompted the writing that eventually became the script for Wairi?
Yeah, so I've always been fascinated in stories about women throughout history. And I like to think that, you know, the concept or the inception for this film came about 2 to 3 years ago. I'm very into sort of imagery and visuals, and I like to think there were a couple of dreams in there too, but I just couldn't get the image of a corset in the red dust out of my head. And when I kept like leaning into that image a little bit more, I started researching some of the stories of Indigenous and non-Indigenous women in the colonies in Australia. And when I started researching the diary entries of George Taplin, George and Martha Taplin were missionaries in South Australia, one of the first missionaries in SA, I realised that, you know, the stories of women, they just weren't there and they just disappeared pretty much from the vernacular. So I was reading his diary entries and they're quite fascinating, but the only mention he ever makes of his wife, Martha, was in reference to the time she got headbutted by a goat, and she actually had to stay in bed for a couple of weeks at a time because I think she had concussion, and at the time you know, she was very isolated in the bush, and he would go away for weeks at a time and leave her. So it was really about delving into some of those stories about women in the colonies and the isolation that they felt and just how hard time was. And then when I started researching more into that era, I found out about, you know, Daisy Bates, who was an anthropologist. Christina Smith was another missionary in SA. And then there were lots and lots of poems and stories which were often heavily veiled, and the women, these authors, dating back to, you know, 1840, 1850s, they wrote with an alias. So often they would write about interracial friendships and that cross-fertilisation of culture between Indigenous and non-Indigenous women in the colonies. And I just felt that that was a fascinating topic that we just don't see. I mean, we see no representations of these friendships and these encounters between Indigenous and non-Indigenous women in that era. So really, it started off as a concept, which became quite an obsession and a passion for me, and I did a lot of research over the years. And then, yeah, it resulted in the collaboration with our incredible filmmaking team, and we, yeah, came up with the script, and I guess the rest is history.
And then got wonderful funding from the Media Resource Centre, which is now Mercury CX and the South Australian Film Corporation, to help us create a film that's going to premiere shortly.
Yeah.
Very soon. And from my understanding, Kate, you are non-Indigenous yourself. So I was wondering, you spoke about how much research you undertook over the years. And then I also understand there was a lengthy approval process that was undertaken with Indigenous community leaders. Can you give us a bit of insight into that?
Absolutely. So I think, yeah, the first thing to comment on is acknowledging my own white privilege and the fact that I can, I'm so fortunate to be able to speak. I have a voice from a place that's been afforded to me by the colour of my skin, to be quite frank. So being aware of the cultural misappropriation over the years and the lack of representation was really important. So right from the very beginning of the the concept for this film, we had an informal meeting between Natasha Wanganeen and myself. So Natasha is a fantastic local Australian actor, and she is Indigenous. And so we had a conversation about the content and the themes of this film. And then from there, we met at the South Australian Film Corp, and they were kind enough to offer one of their meeting rooms. And we got together with a male elder and a female elder from the community, so Uncle Mookie Sumner and Auntie Betty Sumner as well, and also with Natasha and I were there, and then some of Natasha's family too. And we sat around and had a bit of a brainstorm about the script and the things that were going to be put into this film. And then we really had a discussion about consent and community consent, and all parties were really interested in the topic and agreed that it was an area where there was lacking representation, and we don't really see those stories shown on our screens very often. So from then, we went forward and a script was developed, and then at that point we went to the Narrangeri Regional Authority with the script, and we were given community consent. So that was, I suppose you would say, that was the more formal process. And then from that point forward, we brought on Uncle Mookie Sumner, became our cultural First Nations consultant, and he was just a wealth of knowledge and incredible. And, you know, every step of the way, if there were any scenes that included cultural elements such as the dancing or the traditional language used, we consulted on those words, those traditional Narrangeri dialects, and also referred back to the original dictionary of George Taplin, where he notated a lot of the original words that we used back in the colonies at the time.
So consultation was really key in the pre-production phase.
Yes. Pre-production, production, and also post-production. So I'll let Charlotte talk a little bit about the post-production phase, but she was heavily involved in consultation with Uncle Mookie
also, yes. Well, I think, and then part of that, once the script was approved by the Narrangeri Regional Authority, then the important part was to get an Indigenous director on board, first and foremost. And so Kate and her team got Kiara Malera, who is a fabulous young Indigenous director and writer also. And then I was lucky enough to be asked to come on board to co-direct with Kiara. And that was a wonderful process in itself of discussions about the script and making sure we both felt, you know, that we were listening to Kiara's voice all the time as director. And we had any discussions about anything she would feel uncomfortable with on set or what might be a better direction to go in. And really it was a unique process because I've also never co-directed before, and I certainly learnt a lot from that collaborative experience, and about respect and about the white privilege and how often we don't think about it just comes so naturally. And then to be collaborating with someone that kind of pulls you up on it and say, well, that doesn't feel right that character would do that, why do you assume that? And it becomes from our unconscious bias, perhaps, and that sort of thing. So
it was a true partnership, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a true partnership.
And, you know, egos just had to be left at the door, which was wonderful. And in the film, there's quite beautiful character arc for both characters, Hamir and Anna Cardi. A lot of the process of making this film came from those informal discussions. Like, I'm sure Tash doesn't mind me sharing this story, but she has a daughter who is around the same age as my daughter, and Jara and Esther get along really well. And so they were over and we were having a play date and chatting about the film and having a bit of a meeting at the same time. And, yeah, Jara was just playing with a little lizard in our garden, and Esther, I don't remember what she said now, but Jara started talking about calling it Brother Lizard. And just that cross-cultural teaching is so important, and Esther started saying, why do you call it a brother, Dara? And she was explaining her culture and her beliefs, and that, you know, sometimes in another world you'll become maybe a lizard or you become a bird or an animal, and that's part of the dream time and part of culture and the connection to country, which I think we've captured.
Speaking of that connection to country and cultural exchange, these, along with grief, are some central themes to this story. What was it like to explore that in the space of a short film?
It was challenging because you certainly you need to be really clear for the audience's sake so they're not overwhelmed with you trying to pack in a million different things within the space of 15 minutes. So we really narrowed it down to this common story about two women that form a bond, an unlikely bond, over the mutual understanding of a grief, a tragic loss that is rarely explored in our society, and particularly back in those times for white women. It was not we don't want to give too much away, but it's a loss that is often not talked about. And there was an understanding between these women of how painful that experience was, and one character helps the other character through their differences in culture by showing her a new way to understand that grief and that loss, and a new way to shed her own prejudices in the hope that that might help her and help her open up to perhaps a more peaceful awakening and ability to let go.
And Lakati really is, you know, you see the roles, the women start off with very clear roles in the film, and as the film goes along, the power balance shifts quite drastically, and Mary, who is always the outspoken one, who comes with a mission, if you like, to save souls, ends up being the one who is saved by Lakati. So Lakati really cracks open her world, and it becomes an absolute, I don't know whether we can use the word enlightenment, but it's a spiritual awakening of sorts, and it's really the dream time that gets under Mary's skin. And Lakati's worldview and connection to culture is and connection to country is what saves Mary in the end and allows her to find a way to safely grieve the loss of, well, we won't say too much, the loss. Her loss.
And while this is set in the 1860s, it still is relevant today in that we can learn so much from Indigenous culture, and I think we're beginning to realise that with our environment and the isolation we're finding ourselves in, and how important nature is in respecting land and respecting each other. And there is a lot to still be learnt from the Aboriginal elders that are around us and in our communities that can pass on this information. And I think it's really important that we start to share some more of these stories.
Absolutely. It's a celebration of women's stories, definitely.
Indeed. And is this your first collaboration together as writer and director? Co-director, I should say.
I should add to that, and editor, by the way.
Yes. And editor, sorry.
Charlotte also did magnificent editing. It is. This is our first.
It is. Yes. We've known each other from around the industry for a little while, and I've certainly respected Kate's work for a long time.
Likewise.
Thrilled to finally be able to collaborate with her on this project.
This project was, the film is set in the 1860s, and you mentioned before kind of the corset in the red dirt was the defining image. And of course, so that entails you wearing the corset because you also starred in this film, Kate. Having said that, Wairi was filmed in the sweltering peak of the Australian summer. How did you fare surviving the 40 degree shoot days in the heavy costumery and corsets?
I think we happened to be lucky enough as well to have the hottest week of filming for the whole of the summer.
We did. It was so funny, actually, because we had a shoot date lined up and it got cancelled because of torrential rain. And it meant that a few things changed. We were meant to have beautiful big bonfire, and all the dancers were ready to dance around the fire, and it just looked, you know, idyllic on camera. And then the rain came, so we cancelled, and then we had to reschedule, and we rescheduled to the hottest week on record, pretty much. So look, I'm not going to lie, it was hot, you know, and we had incredible crew who made sure there was cold water bottles on offer. We had kerchiefs, neckties, icy poles. We filmed a lot of the scenes were in the water down at Victor Harbour, so we were actually just trying to keep cool as much as we could. Hats off to women of that era who had, oh my gosh, I think in one scene I had stockings, bloomers, a petticoat, corset, boots, and then double layered dress, which Lani and Eliza, our fabulous costume designers, whipped up these amazing replica dresses, which were very, very true to the era. Lani's actually doing a master's in historical dress. So she was she's a detailed person. So she, you know, everything was as it was. And the weight of those dresses was just, you know, unbelievable. It's no wonder women, you know, were passing out all the time in the heat.
It sounds very, very arduous, but it is an examination, nearly, of female relationships, particularly between the film's two protagonists. I'm curious, as you mentioned, both Kate and Charlotte, you admired each other's work for a long time, but I was wondering what other women in the South Australian art scene do you admire?
Oh, look, in the South Australian art scene, so many. Kate and I were talking about this earlier. I think anyone that's really stuck around and stuck at it, because it's not a easy industry to, especially raising family and to keep progressing in. So, look, Kate Crozer, a wonderfully
Sophie Hyde. Crozer Productions. Yeah. They're doing some incredible feminist work.
Julie Byrne, Kath McIntyre, Karina Flaminka, the people at, you know, the Mercury and the South Australian Film Corporation now, we really have a wonderful representation of women that have been in the arts and shifted their roles throughout the arts, from being producers to writers to directors, and now in government organisations. So it's really fabulous that they've, you know, had such a passion for the arts that they've hung around and really enjoying seeing Adelaide's art scene blossom.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, Charlotte, so right, that multi-hyphenated status is something you see with filmmakers, because, you know, women have to juggle so many hats. They end up, you know, writing and then producing and directing and like, you know, Charlotte edited this as well. There's room for women have to often take wear many hats and take on board many roles as well. I forgot to mention as well, we actually had Yolanda Ramke as a mentor director on board this project. So she wrote and co-directed Cargo with Martin Freeman a few years back now. And she's been an incredible mentor for this project. We were very grateful to have her on board to guide us in those early pre-production and development phase.
Kate Bonnie and Charlotte Rose, thank you so much for joining us on Festival City and giving us such a beautiful introduction to the movie Wairi.
Oh, wonderful. And we hope you all get along to see it. It's on a night called Made in SA with other wonderful locally made short films.
Absolutely. And it will be the world premiere at the Adelaide Film Festival. Now, the Palace Nova East End Cinemas will be hosting a couple of those nights for the Made in the SA short films. There'll also be another session, because I believe those two are actually sold out. So there's another session at Semaphore, and you can head to the Adelaide Film Festival website for all those details. Once again, that was Kate Bonnie and Charlotte Rose.